D. Smith, welcome in. It's the latest edition of the Unnamed Soccer Podcast. The Unnamed Soccer Podcast is brought to you by Three Punk Ales in Chula Vista, a place that I am headed here later today. I'm going to go watch a little, maybe watch a little Prem, maybe show up there a little bit after the first match of the Premier League season. Liverpool in action. Champions League winners, Liverpool in action. A little bit later today, Darren and I are recording from the iHeart Studios in San Diego. Darren, we're no longer in this dusty closet that we've grown accustomed to for years.
No, we are out. We're in a professional studio. We have always pitched a little bit about what the studio situation was when we were recording the podcast at our other joint. But there was some news here, and I know that there are some who just listen to this podcast. They might not care what we do on the radio side, which was our day job, your day job for many, many years. It continues to be my day job. But yeah, the Unnamed Soccer Podcast has a new home. Now, I don't know if that means we have to come up with a name for it or not. We're sort of in a bit of transition here. It's a fluid situation, but at least as of Friday, August 9th, we're going to continue to roll with the Unnamed Soccer Podcast on our new home here through the iHeartRadio app. So we're going to ask for a little bit of patience. If you have any questions about how to find the Unnamed Soccer Podcast, please direct all inquiries to at Jordan Carruth, so he can answer some of those questions, since he is not only the host of the podcast, he's also the technical director.
Correct. That is part of my business card. So it really should not change a lot for the listeners, because if you are already subscribed to the podcast, whether it is on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you may subscribe, it's still going to be available there. Essentially, what is happening is We're partnering in a way with iHeart. We are now on the iHeart platform. It's another platform. It's an additional way for people to find the Unnamed Soccer Podcast. It is a massive deal for us. It's a really, really big deal for this podcast. When it comes down to it, it may not change a lot for the listeners. It's just an extra way for people to get it, and it's also a way for more people to find the Unnamed Soccer Podcast. So we're very excited for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it also, what it means for us on a personal level, because I know for you as a listener, you're probably just thinking, well, what does this mean for me? Right? Because that's the way I would feel about it if I were a listener of this podcast or any other podcast. What does this mean for me? Like, what do I have to do? Because I like this podcast and I want to continue to listen to it. And I've listened to it mostly through one platform or another for the better part of 3 years, 4 years. How long have we been doing this?
Like at least 30.
Like 30 years. So I've listened to it one way for 30 years. So now I have to do something differently. What do you mean? So what it means for us is that we have another platform here, and we have the number one platform for podcasting in the United States, which is the iHeart app.
Boom.
To promote this. So that's a really, really big deal for us. Again, we understand that you're going to be hyper-focused on what this means for you, and you should. But if you like this podcast, you really should be happy for us that we have this opportunity to put the Unnamed Soccer Podcast on the iHeart app. That's a really, really big deal and a really big platform. And to be part of that family for us is just fantastic. So we thank iHeart for allowing us to put this podcast there. It doesn't necessarily mean, as Jordan said, that you have to switch up everything that you do in life. But that's a big deal for this podcast for us. So we're super appreciative of the iHeart family for allowing that. And now download the app and you can auto download it. And there might be a couple of growing pains here over the next few weeks, but this is another place that you can find it, which is phenomenal for us.
Yeah, I think it can only be seen as good news. I see it as good news. I see it as great news, actually. So also something else to promote other than the iHeart addition to the family. And we will get to the Prem. We're going to talk a little bit about the Prem. We're going to talk about Christian Pulisic. I'm expecting him to start at Old Trafford Sunday morning against Man U, against a club he grew up supporting. He was a Man U fan growing up. I don't know if you knew that. We'll get into all of that. We'll also talk about some of the biggest names in the sport who aren't exactly happy with where they're playing right now. I think it's a pretty interesting topic in the world of soccer. But I do want to promote the fact that we are on YouTube now. We haven't done a podcast since the Women won the World Cup.
Yeah, since we were in Vegas, right?
Yeah, we recapped. That's right. We recorded that from the hotel room in Las Vegas.
Yeah, we were in Vegas for the NBA Summer League. That was the last podcast. Now, again, we went into the doldrums of the summer, unless you wanted to analyze the ICC.
Listen, Chelsea's dealing with a transfer ban. I had nothing to talk about. Right. I have nothing to recap.
Summer's when you should take a little bit of a break. You know, it feels like these guys all play for their country and then they jump right back into playing for their club in the blink of an eye. But we decided to kick back for about a month while we were not quite sure what was going on with us.
Yeah, I mean, we were negotiating behind the scenes. So it's been a little while, and so I do want to promote the fact that we're on YouTube now. We have a couple videos up there, but I would definitely expect more videos to be added. I'm going to make a much bigger effort on our YouTube page. So if you can, you can subscribe there, and you can catch all our fun stuff. The most recent video on the YouTube page right now is pretty much just a video recap of everything from Petco Park for the World Cup final. So I know that's a little while ago. It's been a couple weeks, but still, I think it'd be something fun to watch. And if you were there at Petco, who knows? Maybe you're in the video. Check it out. So, Darren, let's get to what's actually happening. We're recording on a Friday morning. The Prem kicks off today. Today is the day.
Happy Premier League season, Jordan Carruth.
Thank you so much. I have no idea what to expect this season as a Chelsea supporter. I mean, I've seen predictions as high as 3, which is the absolute ceiling for Chelsea. And way too big of a stretch, in my opinion. And I also have seen predictions like as low as, 15th for Chelsea. So it should be quite a ride for Chelsea supporters. But I guess going in with Liverpool starting things off, that is one of the two clubs that most people expect actually that have a legitimate chance of going on and winning this damn thing this year.
All right, Mr. Premier League. So you tell me, because all I have to do is sit on the other side of this conversation and listen to all the shit from you and everybody else who just loves the Premier League and tells me how it's the best competition and it's the highest level and there's the most, it's the best league, and look at the Europa League finals and look at the Champions League finals.
Darren, you're making a lot of good points.
So, I had to listen to all this nonsense and I bit my lip on it, so I didn't have much to say, because when you find yourself in that situation, if you're a honk for the Premier League and you go, well, look at the Europa League final, it was Arsenal and it was Chelsea, and look at the Champions League final, it was Spurs and it was Liverpool. How is this not exactly what everybody accuses La Liga of being, which is nothing more than a two-team race?
This year, on an individual case, it is a two-team race. I can't make an argument for any other club in England to win. The club I would try and I would effort to make this case for would be Tottenham. I think they're the closest to Liverpool and Man City right now. But I still believe there's a gap between Man City, Liverpool, and then everyone else. So it's a two-team race this year, Darren. The good news is it was a two-team race last year. And it was an incredible finish. So I really think the best we can hope for is not what we got 2 years ago, which was a runaway with Manchester City, where it was over. It was done and dusted, as they say, Darren. Last year, at least, Liverpool, they put together a historic season, still didn't win the league, which is incredible that they don't win the league putting up that amount of points. And it required Manchester City to win their final 14 matches of the season. So I think really what you're hoping for, if you're just a neutral going into the season, what you're hoping for is at least a fun race again between City and Liverpool, and not what happened 2 years ago where it was just a runaway.
I could see that, and like you said, 2 years ago, Liverpool really wasn't even the picture. I don't think they finished runner-up, did they? I'll look this up real quickly since I have a computer in front of me. No, it was City, then it was United, way back when Manchester United was relevant. So it went City, United, Spurs, Liverpool finished fourth that year, and as you said, City just ran away with it, winning the league by 19 points. Last year, phenomenal title race, 98 points for City, 97 for Liverpool, everything that you just described there. So that was a ton of fun to watch. Again, I'm not objecting to the two-team race if it's exciting, if it gives you something to watch, and I am a neutral. I love Palace, but I mean, I am a neutral. Palace isn't going to compete for a title here. So I would take another version of City versus Liverpool. I think there's intrigue in the top four. I think that I'm with you that Tottenham certainly, if you had to make a case for another club to be competitive for a league title, it would be Spurs. Things would have to go wrong for me with City and certainly with Liverpool. I like what Arsenal's done. So, yeah, I mean, I tend to just say let's call it what it is. It's a two-team race until we're proven wrong, until proven otherwise, because that's exactly the way it looks. I suppose Liverpool not really doing much here during the transfer window. I suppose you can make the case that Liverpool comes down a little bit, whereas City actually looks like it got a little bit better with Rodriguez. So, I would say that there's certainly there's reason to suggest that today, but we never know. Somebody comes out of no place, major injuries, catastrophic injuries. I don't buy this line of logic that Manchester City is now just going to focus on winning the Champions League. That's not the way they play. You you can't learn a ton from the Community Shield, but that's the way they play. They want to win everything. They do want to win everything. That's a whole Pep Guardiola thing. So I don't think for a single second that they're going to take their foot off the gas when it comes to the FA Cup or when it comes to the Carabao Cup or whatever it's called these days. I don't think any of that is going to come into play. I think that Manchester City is what Manchester City is going to always be as long as Pep Guardiola is there, which is a club that keeps its foot on the gas and tries to win as much hardware as possible.
So it's really difficult for me to come on and try to sell you the Prem in this way, but this is the way I kind of view the Prem right now. It's a two-team race. And then it's going to be a very fun finish for third, fourth, and how the Champions League spots finish. But also something that I think is really notable in the Prem right now is that a lot of these clubs that you would consider in the middle tier, they not only remain strong, but they appear to get stronger. And as more money comes into the league.
Are we talking about like Wolves and Everton,
correct.
Clubs like
I
that?
Think Wolves
okay.
are a great example. Okay, Wolves, for example, is a team normally, I feel like years ago, they finished seventh last year. Is that where they finished?
Yep.
I believe they finished. Yeah. And they just got promoted, and they have an incredible, incredible run last season. Seventh place is a big deal for Wolves, and they looked really, really good. And normally, that's a type of club, after a season like that, they would have to sell all those players that led them to seventh place. They would have to get rid of them. They would have to cash in. It would be so difficult for them to stay in the top flight that they would have to just cash in at that point. But Wolves didn't do that. In fact, they tried to get even stronger. And I noticed that, and it seems, and it's again, it's not a sexy way to sell the Prem because the battle for the Europa spots, not going to do a lot for TV. I get that. But it's a two-team race, a very compelling top four, and a lot of clubs, including a club like Wolves, and I saw the friend of the podcast, Joe Prince-Wright, who works for NBC, he put out his predictions. One of his predictions is that Wolves will actually finish fourth place. They're going to get a Champions League spot. So not only is it a team that normally would have sold off its players, they got even better, and some are expecting them to even climb from seventh place. So I think there are a lot of compelling ways to look at England this year, but again, it's I wish I could come on and say here's this five team title race between, or even a six team title race. It's just not going to be that. But really, what you hope for is a fun finish, a fun race between the two clubs that you would expect it to come down to, and then a lot of compelling storylines on the side.
Well, the interesting thing, as you brought up Wolves there, just to focus in on them for a second, not because we have a lot of Wolverhampton Wanderers fans, but I will say, how much do you want to throw
one,
in?
I know by the way.
Do you?
I do.
Where do they hang out? I feel like we need to also remind everybody where to hang out at their local pubs.
Oh, we'll do, yeah.
Like for me, I can't wait to get back to the Owl Drug Company to go hang out with all the Barca fans. I don't know what you're up to this weekend.
I'm going to 3-punk potentially today to watch Liverpool.
I like that. Like, where do the Wolves fans hang out?
I don't know. We should come up with a North County spot for my friend.
Yeah, we need to post all that. Don't we have a Facebook page where we can update everybody? But
I'm going to put together, you know what I'll do? I'll put together a graphic. I can put together a map of San Diego, and I'll put the little club logos on.
But here's the one thing I would ask about Wolves, just as a follow up, because I agree with you. They are, and our boy there picking them and saying that they could finish fourth. The only thing I don't know about them is how now they manage the situation they're in, because they are in Europa League. They've got qualification for the Europa League second round. So how does that factor in? We saw Arsenal go through this. They finished outside of the top four. Chelsea was involved with the Europa League last year. They finished top three, finished third on the table. We'll get to Chelsea in a second. But what I don't know is, I would feel more comfortable with United, Wolves. I'm not sure, though, about how you manage that, how you manage playing in Europe with what you're trying to do domestically as well.
Yeah, and I'm not going to headline this podcast as a Wolves preview by any stretch or anything
right.
like
but
that.
But we're talking about, we've cleared out the top of the table.
So, right. I really do find them compelling, and I think those who are actually listening to an unnamed soccer podcast are probably following along with the Prem close enough to see that's a really, really good story and to see where that's going to go. So for me, the biggest match for me this weekend in England happens Sunday morning, and I'm assuming, I guess I haven't seen it officially, but I am assuming Arlo White will be on the call for this one at Old Trafford Sunday morning at 8:30. Chelsea on the road against Manchester United. This is the big one for me. I think it's going to be the big one in the U.S., and it's only because of Christian Pulisic. It's two major clubs. Neither club do we expect to actually go on and win the league this year, but it's Christian Pulisic. He's expected to start. Like, he's expected to, I don't know if he'll play the full 90. I hope he does. My expectation for Pulisic, actually, Darren, is that he's going to get a lot of playing time early, and it's going to be kind of up to him to keep it. So That's the big one for me.
What choice does Chelsea have at this point? Especially as if they've watched players exit. Now this is a player that they brought in with a new manager. And I will say this, and I never thought I'd say this before. I rooted for Chelsea to get into the top four, into the Champions League, because it made this a better podcast. Now I find myself pulling them for them for a totally different reason, which is, A, because it makes it a better podcast when Chelsea is relevant. Also, now Pulisic.
Europa winners, Darren.
I like Europa, but it doesn't sell, baby. It just doesn't sell. It's not quite as sexy as being in Champions League, and you know it.
Listen, Liverpool and Chelsea, European champions.
Hey, Champions League this year. You don't have to say the shit. You could actually just be, you can make fun of United, and you can make fun of Arsenal.
So, good point. Suck it, United.
But I also think that the Pulisic factor becomes a big one for U.S. soccer fans, because now I find myself rooting for him to continue as a 20-year-old, soon to be 21, to get better as a player. But I want him well taken care of, and I want him playing in big matches because I think that that's in the best interest of the U.S.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are going to take that approach.
Don't screw this up, Lampard, is what I'm saying.
I think Lampard's actually a really good person for him to learn from. I think it's just really cool for Pulisic this weekend because this is someone who, as we all know, random city in Pennsylvania, Hershey, Pennsylvania. He lives in England for a year as a 7-year-old because his mom works there for a year. He gets to go to Old Trafford for the first time in his life as a 7-year-old. They lived, I think, like 70 miles outside of London. They made trips to Manchester. They made trips to London to watch Chelsea play. Like, Pulisic got in to the Prem when he was a 7-year-old because they actually lived there for a year before he came back to the U.S. And he became a United fan. Like, that was the club he supported. That's the club he started supporting in England when he was there so young. And so for him to go back and go through what he's gone through with the U.S. and the unders and splash onto the scene the way he has, and then to make the trip and a player who, we can't always say this about all the players with the U.S. men's national team, he is someone who likes to go out of his comfort zone, right? And a lot of people have written about this recently. He's okay being outside of Hershey, Pennsylvania. He lived in England as a 7-year-old for a year. He decided to go and play in Germany, and his family moved there with him, and he moved around and was able to move over there. Now he's going to England, and it's someone who is not always just in this comfortable position where he wants to just be close to home or anything like that. It's just got to be so cool for a guy like Christian Pulisic and all the build up to this. And I'm sure in the back of his head, he's always wanted to play in the Prem. And I don't know if he's always wanted to play for Chelsea, but it seems like he's excited for it now. For him to actually go out in his first Prem match, to go to Old Trafford, which I'm sure that stadium meant a lot to him as a kid, and that's his first match in the new league. It's just, I think it's going to be a special moment. And I think a lot of people who, whether they're a Chelsea fan or not, they are going to tune in. They're just going to watch him individually play. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that's me. That's me on Sunday morning. Absolutely. And as you said, to open up at Old Trafford for your Premier League debut. That's good. I mean, and plus, think about the overreaction to that match. Think about Chelsea United to open up on a Sunday and think about the overreaction to the result from that match coming up on Monday.
It's either going to be fire Ole, fire Lampard, Pulisic made a mistake.
He doesn't know what he's doing, or Ole's just, he's garbage, and what was United thinking? Although you could apply that to several different aspects of Manchester United.
Going back to Pulisic, I really think the only thing that will hold him back this year, I don't think it's going to be the manager. I really don't think it's going to be the team. I think he's really going to get a lot of opportunity, especially early. The only thing that could potentially hold him back, and it sucks to say it, but it's injuries.
Yeah.
Like, that's what could hold Pulisic back, and that's what you're looking to avoid. So.
Yeah, I mean, this is exciting. I remember what it was like, how excited I was when Clint Dempsey was playing for Spurs. I remember how exciting it was to watch Clint Dempsey playing in the Premier League as a U.S. soccer fan. I feel the same way about Pulisic.
Yeah, and then seeing like Tim Howard play, but I mean, Pulisic's not allowed to use his hands. It's a little bit different.
It's totally different. You know, and I mean, I would just ask you, 10 goals, 10 assists? I know is that attainable?
To go back to Joe Prince Wright, good friend of the podcast, one of his bold predictions, not only Wolves in the top four, he said Pulisic will lead the league in assists this season. I'm going to reach out to our good friend. I want him on the pod here very soon, and we're going to talk about his predictions.
I would love it for it to happen.
I want to know what the website 538 is smoking, because they put out their predictions for the Prem season, and they update this weekly. It's an It's an analytic website. I mean, it's nothing about opinion. They're just crunching a bunch of numbers. And according to 538, the team expected to win the league this year is Manchester City, a 55% chance to win it. Liverpool, 31% chance. So
that actually seems low for me on City, 55%. I would have guessed 60-ish.
I thought it was low for Liverpool at 31. Okay, and this is the shocking part for me, is they actually have Chelsea 3 on this list. They think Chelsea will finish 3rd. I don't see them finishing in a Champions League spot. A lot of things are going to have to go the right way for Chelsea, and I mean a lot of right things. I just don't see them finishing the top 4. I don't know what goes into that with 538. They have Tottenham 4 and Arsenal 5. This is just their order. This is how they think the Prem will finish this year. City 1, Pool 2, Chelsea 3, Tottenham 4, Arsenal 5, United 6, which I believe is the exact 1 through 6 from last season. They have Wolves dropping a tad. They have Everton on the way up a little bit. But 1 through 6 is the same, according to 538. I'm surprised, and I don't agree with it.
This is what I pulled off ESPN FC. They just have the odds to finish in the top 4. City is, and good luck making any money on this wager, 1-66. 1-66 to finish in the top 4. Liverpool, 1-16. Spurs, 1-2. Chelsea United, 11-10. And then Arsenal, 6-4.
Yeah, there's no value there.
I feel like I'm missing something on United. I feel like I'm missing something on Chelsea. I feel like Arsenal maybe rated a little bit low. Maybe that was before the transfer deadline window closed. I think that David Luiz was a pretty decent signing for Arsenal, which I'm sure I don't know. Are you happy, not happy about that?
I'm going to have very fond memories of David Luiz. David Luiz had 2 stints with Chelsea. He won Champions League with Chelsea. He won multiple FA Cups with Chelsea. He just won Europa with Chelsea. There is a lot. It reminds
to go to Arsenal, though.
It reminds me of Petr Cech.
Yeah.
Won a shit ton of silverware, and then he had to go finish his career at Arsenal.
Pretty much what they need with Aubameyang and Pepe and Lacazette. I mean, I feel like that team's top 4 for
that's
me.
That's a top 4 team for
that's
me.
That's a top 4 team for me with Arsenal. I don't rate them any higher into the Manchester City Liverpool space, but between them and Spurs, I would certainly think 3 and 4 on that front. So yeah, I mean just it's pretty common here. Now maybe somebody comes totally out of nowhere, like what we saw with Leicester City, and goes rushing up to the top. You mentioned Wolves a little bit earlier. I've seen Everton in some predictions because people want to mix it up and they don't want to just go with the standard old top 6 here in the Premier League. But I would tell you that I'm having a tough time convincing myself that United finishes top 4. And I just think new manager, Chelsea, transfer window. I'm sorry, pal. I want to see it. I won't be shocked if it happens, but I'm not sure that I'm convinced it's going to happen for the Blues.
Yeah, 538 has it more likely than not that Chelsea make Champions League again next season. 51%. I don't see it. They have Tottenham with a 45% chance. And then Arsenal. I like Arsenal a lot more than 538 does. I like Tottenham more than 538 does.
But again, were some of these odds, because I know the odds that I'm reading here for them, was before the transfer window closed. And
yeah,
Arsenal, I thought it did really well.
I agree Arsenal did really well. I don't know how much a David Luiz transfer will change it for them. But we'll see. I think it's a really good signing for
Arsenal.
They're
going to be fun to watch because they're going to score a lot.
They're going to be they're a Champions League team.
They're going to give up a lot of goals as well.
Yeah. So I referenced it a little bit earlier. It's a little head-scratching. But going into this year, if you kind of start thinking of the biggest names in the sport, biggest names, Neymar, Lionel Messi, Paul Pogba, Mbappe, Gareth Bale, those are just some of the biggest names. A majority of those names I just listed are players who don't even want to be at the club they're playing for right now, which is a really weird dynamic, I find. Yeah. Neymar's in Paris, obviously, at PSG, and I feel like this entire summer was just about trying to get Neymar out of Paris, whether it was back to Spain and Barcelona. He always gets linked with Real Madrid. I don't know how many clubs can actually afford his contract. It's not many. He outprices himself for a lot of the other clubs in the world. Not many places he can actually go. But Neymar, someone who wants out. Paul Pogba with United. The whole summer has been about where will Pogba go? Will he actually go to Madrid? He wants out. Gareth Bale has hated his managers, absolutely hates him because he has other interests other than soccer, I guess.
He plays golf.
Yeah.
While Real Madrid is playing Spurs, he's out on a golf course.
Apparently the manager.
They had a transfer already lined up for him to go play in China, and that thing fell apart. So he was on his way, 1 foot out the door.
Right.
And then they had to rope him back in. The manager hates his guts, as you said. Now that window is still open in Europe as the Premier League window closes early. So we'll see, but he doesn't seem like he's going anywhere to me.
Where can he go? Who can afford that price tag? You can't just move that contract around. And like that's an actual issue right now in the sport.
And at least with Neymar, there was some suggestion that he would take a little bit less just to get out of Paris. But there's no suggestion of that with Gareth Bale at all.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Antoine Griezmann. Like, that was a weird one to start the summer as well.
Good example. Yeah. Now all of a sudden he's to Barca. How do you feel about that, by the way?
I love it. I think it's just he's going to fit in so well. Love everything about it. I've never said a bad word about Antoine Griezmann.
Yeah, you hate his guts.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't at all.
No, I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty
sure the last time we recorded at your house, you showed us a dartboard with Griezmann's face on it.
I think he's going to fit in really, really well. I do. I actually really do think he's going to fit in well.
Like he's going to score goals? Is that what you mean by fitting in?
I think he's a World Cup winner. I think that he's had some moments there in high-pressure situations where he hasn't exactly looked like the most competent player on the planet. Or the most clutch player on the planet, missing a penalty kick in a Champions League final seems to stand out to me with Atletico. So, I think he fits in really, really well. I do. I think he fits in well. I think he's a forward-facing player. I think he's going to be a good fit there at Barca. Now they just got to figure out a way to get rid of Coutinho.
It looks like there was
another
player
that nobody really seems to want.
Yeah, he keeps getting offered up, and people keep just changing their minds. Like, nah, you take him. Nah, you take him. He was like a done deal to Arsenal or Tottenham. Which was
Spurs, and then Spurs focused in on Dybala, and then Dybala, like his marketing money didn't transfer over. It was very weird.
What's going on there? I mean, all these Tottenham fans told me they had all these amazing deals where they made so much money, and then they didn't spend it on Dybala. Why does he need to leave that club? That's a massive club.
At least they got some players through the door. I thought they did well.
They did really well.
Yeah,
they did really well. I have them finishing third.
Me too.
Moving on up, because Chelsea finished third somehow last year. I don't know how they did it.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote that down too. Griezmann, Hazard, Harry Maguire for $80 million, Lukaku most recently to Inter Milan. The players who didn't leave, Gareth Bale, Neymar, Pogba, yet James Rodriguez was one, Mbappe, Coutinho.
Another guy I'm sure Madrid would like to move.
Yeah.
I know this isn't a La Liga preview, and we'll get to it once you guys actually kick off your season, but is there any reason for me to believe that it's Barca in a runaway? Because, I mean, I look at the table the last 5 years, and it's all Barca, Darren.
I think it will be Barca again in the league. We can focus in on this a little more. To me, I look at Atletico Madrid more as the club that's right in the rearview mirror than I do Real Madrid. I'm not sold on anything Real Madrid has done. Eden Hazard showed up. He looked fat. He looked totally no fitness whatsoever.
I have been running with that storyline with my friends. I have convinced myself. And like Hazard scored a goal yesterday, I think, or 2 days ago. And it was a beautiful goal. And he's going to be really good with that club. I do believe it. However, Darren, I have convinced myself that Eden Hazard has shown up to Madrid 300 pounds and is rolling around the pitch. That's how I picture it. I saw Pulisic score several goals for Chelsea in the preseason. And so I think Pulisic is a god, and I think Eden Hazard is fat as a house. That's my take going into the season.
Yeah, I think they're better, but I like what Atletico Madrid has done a little more than what Real Madrid did. Now, that could change if they end up with Pogba here over the next couple of weeks, which is still possible, which again leaves you completely confused as to whatever the hell Manchester United is doing. Because I don't get any of that. I don't get any of that. That Lukaku goes the day of the deadline, and they have seemingly no plan to replace him whatsoever. So, I mean, they spent a bunch of money for a center back, but what is that? I mean, I don't know what United's
You know
doing
what that
here.
Is? That's more Thursday night football next season. That's what that is, Darren.
You're shy because you play on a Thursday night? I don't understand that at all. So, good luck to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Yeah. Speaking of Thursday nights, did you see that Arsenal announced David Luiz on a Thursday night at like 8 o'clock?
Did they?
They did. Guess what all the comments were?
Get used to it.
Get used to Thursday night at 8 o'clock. All right, so I'm going to go down to three punk ales a little bit later. I'm going to get an update.
Let's get our top four out there.
City, one. Yep, Liverpool, correct. Two. Spurs, three. Arsenal, four.
God, this is so boring.
I know.
I'm the same exact.
I know.
I thought about
different.
Mixing it up and putting Spurs 2, Liverpool 3.
I could honestly see that happening. I don't expect it. At least we're different than 538, who's probably smarter than we are. I mean, those are just number crunchers. So,
you know, and there's something I know a lot of our friends, our Liverpool supporter friends, they probably would like to see 30 years since they last won the title after winning the Champions League. Could they just hone in and focus in on the Premier League? I'll believe it when I see it, but I still think City's just way too good.
Yeah.
They're way too good, unless there's some sort of in-house revolt or some of the stuff that goes on with all the stuff about Abu Dhabi. And, you know, unless something takes them down, like takes them down, then I don't see it. I just don't see it. I don't think it's their DNA to take their foot off the gas. It's not how they do it.
Yeah. Both teams are incredible, Liverpool and Man City. The difference for me is the depth with Man City. Liverpool is deep as well.
Hey, by the way,
Man City is the deepest team.
I know we're wrapping here on the Premier League, and again, happy early morning wake ups to everybody out there. But on a much more local note here in San Diego, I just want to give a shout out to Landon Donovan and his efforts with USL. Because I don't know if you saw this, the MLS All-Star break was in Orlando last weekend, and Landon Donovan and Warren Smith were down there. And it sounds to me, like from conversations that I've had around town, that USL 2020 is a very, very real possibility. Not a probability yet, but they are operating as if March of 2020 is going to be the debut of the USL club here in San Diego. They're doing a lot of public surveys, which people can find on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Follow them on Twitter. They're asking for your input about name ideas and all sorts of research. So
it's a club that is engaging with San Diegans,
correct,
which is incredible. That's what we want.
Absolutely.
Last time we had Landon Donovan on the podcast, we were sitting down from O'Brien's, and he told us, well, it could be 2020. It could be 2021. It was still up in the air. It sounds like there is progress there and a belief that it could really be 2020. And some things had to come together in order for 2020 to be a real possibility. But I guess there's a chance that those things are coming together. So that's great news. Hopefully he's got those classes going. I mean, if he's going to be the coach, Darren.
If he is.
If.
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 It, I, well, it's an if.
It is an if. He told us it was a potential plan.
Wasn't a deal breaker, but I think they really want to get the club off the ground in March of 2020.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah, there's just some things you hear around town. Inquiries, professional inquiries that make you believe that they're on track for 2020 in March. And again, no guarantees. I'll let them be the ones to tell you. I don't have that information. Mm-hmm. But when you hear about some of the inquiries that they're making around town, they are lining themselves up and aligning themselves for March of 2020, which I think is really, really exciting.
Yeah, I completely agree. I cannot wait for whatever the first season's going to be. And if it's 2020 or 2021, not a huge difference for me. Obviously, the preference is 2020. Let's get this thing going, but I'm excited regardless. So.
Let's get it started.
Prem's getting started today, Darren.
So exciting.
Yeah, so...
Happy Premier League season to you.
Thank you.
Where do you have Chelsea finishing?
Anywhere between 5th and 15th.
Where do you have United finishing?
Anywhere between 6th and 15th.
Yeah. We have a Chelsea fan who works here at iHeartRadio. He goes, I'd be thrilled if Chelsea finished in the top 10. I said, okay.
There's going to be
Chelsea finishes ahead of United.
It's going to be very easy for Chelsea fans in America to be distracted on just focusing on what Pulisic is doing as an individual and if he is progressing. And if it's not going well for the club, at least you can focus on the American. I think that will be the approach for many. But I am very excited to be available to watch Champions League football at Shakespeare's.
Oh, stop rubbing my nose in it. Just because
this season.
You're not doing radio shows with us in the middle of the day. You're leaving me by myself to do Champions League exciting action all by my lonesome.
I want to do Collins from pubs around San Diego for the show.
Done.
Okay, so subscribe. The iHeart edition is exactly that. It's an edition. We're not changing the way you can find us. We're just giving you another way to find us. So I think that is really, really cool. And we appreciate those who do subscribe. If you can, leave a comment, leave a review on our podcast page when it comes to iTunes. And we'll continue to knock these out from the iHeart Studios. Gorgeous studios there, and I'm happy to be here.
Very exciting. Very exciting. I think we even actually had the microphones on the entire time, which is something that we've been getting used to. Jordan, great to see you. Happy opening weekend for the Premier League fans out there. We'll get into some of our La Liga conversations, our Bundesliga conversations. We've got access here where we can get people dialed up on the phone and do guests and all sorts of fun stuff in studio. So it'll be a blast. Follow us, as Jordan said, on Instagram. And do we have a Facebook page?
It exists, but I really don't look at it.
Okay, so follow us on Instagram and the YouTube channel, and of course right here, and we're thrilled to be involved with iHeart. And he's at Jordan Carruth on Twitter, and I am at D Smith Show. Crystal Palace top 10 club, by the way.
Really?
Crystal Palace top 10, yeah.
Who finishes higher on the table? Palace?
Now that they've kept Wilfred Zaha.
Palace or Chelsea? Who finishes higher on the table?
Chelsea.
Palace or United?
Palace.